Hello! It's a completely weird remote Newsweek. I don't know what categories we're doing. I also didn't look at the date, but I'm gonna look it up now.
There's a one tab in the chat. It's 428.
428. Yeah, the one tab just has the stories. It doesn't tell us what sections we're doing today.
Oh, well, no.
Social media is one, but I don't know what the other one is.
Government. We always start with government.
Government.
Well, it's like 20 stories, give or take. So there's not really a lot of news this week. It's probably gonna go kind of fast, but. Maybe not. I don't know. But we're all quarantining because, you know, isn't that the end thing to do? You're watching all of your people that are... It's funny watching people like Conan try to, like, stream from their house, and it's, like, worse than this.
And it makes you feel a little bit better about the quality of this program. It's like, oh, you know, these guys can't do it.
I can't really say that I'm... And also, my audio is terrible, and we know, but I don't have a USB hub, so you're going to have to deal with it. And I can't say that I'm on remote because I'm quarantining, because clearly I haven't been doing that up until this point. But I poisoned myself with undercooked chicken on Thursday.
Oh.
I still don't feel good.
I just poisoned myself with some Taco Bell. Made a run for the border, product placement Taco Bell.
That's the only place I've been since all this started, because they have a drive-thru not far from my home.
Well, you know, I might have forgotten to start the sort the stories, so I'm going to blame the Taco Bell and or the under-eating and or I don't know.
It's that kind of weird.
Yeah.
It is that kind of.
Our first story is about Israel. Israel has stopped using phone tracking to enforce COVID-19 quarantines. The really sketchy thing in this article is that they were like, we've already arrested some people without this application because the police are monitoring people that leave their homes when they're not supposed to. And it's like, oh, okay. Fair enough.
Do visits. You got to wonder, like, the cop to citizen ratio has to be pretty huge to be able to just go and visit people every day if they're sick.
Yeah. Well, it's like, weren't they doing that in, like, New York or somewhere? It's like, oh, you're patient zero. You gotta stay in your
place. They should, like, kill two birds with one stone here, and the cops should bring you a meal.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice. That won't happen.
No.
That would be really nice if you were, like, they were checking on the elderly. That would be a great use of their time. They'd probably spread the infection. That'd probably be bad.
Have a robot do it.
Yeah.
I've read some really horrific headlines about things that the virus is doing now, and I'm just like, that's great. That's a good thing to know.
They deploy a robot, like one of the Amazon delivery robots, and then it accidentally infect like an entire home of old people, and they would just be like, we don't have any idea what happened. That would be terrible. Mm-hmm. That was an attempt at segueing into another time Amazon lied to Congress. Amazon's top watchdog in Congress says the witness that it had may have lied. This is talking about how... Have you noticed how Amazon, like when there's a popular product on Amazon, like say fidget spinners, all of a sudden there's the Amazon Basics fidget spinner? That's not a coincidence.
Well, of course they want to manufacture their own. They want that full profit.
I gotta wonder, because they've known this for quite a while, and it's just coming up now after the Jedi thing. Is this sort of like, how dare you stand up to us? You know who we are?
probably. But they actually, like, I couldn't get past the whole thing in the testimony where they were telling Congress, like, no, it is purely coincidental that Amazon starts making Amazon brand popular product when we notice that Amazon, the platform, is selling a lot of product X. Amazon, the platform, and Amazon, the product sourcing and delivery service, those are completely different things. Not so much.
They're not, though.
And it really was just like one sentence that he said that got him. Like, if he would have just left it a little bit more vague, they would have still gotten away with it, and they would have been okay.
Yeah.
He went too far.
It was super misleading, as opposed to just blatantly misleading.
What do you, if all of the third-party sellers... Or, you know, a critical mass of them could walk away from Amazon. Do you think it would destroy them?
I think that if there were something else that those sellers could use to get the business that they do, they would abandon Amazon in a heartbeat. And I don't think it would destroy Amazon, but it would eat into their margins quite a bit.
Again, it's never going to happen. Because there's always going to be somebody who's going to... There's always going to be a... scab. The word escaped me for a moment.
I miss old Etsy, like for handmade stuff and things like that. Because it would be a nice alternative to Amazon, but at this point it's just the same full of like crappy, you know, plastic Chinese junk. And it's like, well, this used to be a good website. If I want cheap Chinese junk, I'll just go to Amazon.
And blatant IP theft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is our
level one knockoff hoodie. Huh? Product placement, Krista?
And crochet.
The level one crochet.
I am actually wearing a level one hoodie today, but it's a little bit big, so I usually don't wear it outside of the house because it doesn't fit me quite right, but it's fine.
But inside the house makes perfect sense because you should be a comfortable temperature.
Right.
You know what else doesn't...
It's chilly today. It's raining.
You know what else doesn't fit quite right? Ripe and Chinese proposals to the changes on the internet. So ZDNet headline is Ripe opposes China's internet protocols upgrade plan. Ripe speaks out against China and Huawei's new IP, quote-unquote, internet upgrade plan and says the internet standards should be left to the Internet Engineering Task Force, not the United Nations. So if you look into the proposal from China, it's going to make it super easy to censor things on the internet and super easy to do a lot of the things that we've been seeing China do with the Great Firewall, which is probably not a good thing for the internet to have implemented.
I like how, you know, we've got the CCPA and, you know, DMCA and all these terrible things. And we sort of like, it's a big thing when they happen, we fight against them. And then China comes out with one and it's just so much further. They're like, no, we're not going to change the rules. We're going to reinvent the medium to control it. You guys just don't think, you know, enough outside the box.
This is the new CCP, the Censorship Control Protocol. Like, why does that need to be in the network stack?
It's a sad state of affairs.
I can't think that this will ever happen here, but what if post-virus China becomes more economically powerful because they're going to come out first and they can start buying things up if our economy crashes? That could be a terrifying reality.
See, I don't know that they will come out first because a lot of places are starting to move manufacturing away. Like, the world is pissed at them right now.
Well, I mean, not
just
manufacturing.
It's going to be like a weird vacuum.
But
yeah, but okay, so you want to build a factory in the U.S.?
No one wants that. It'll probably be in, like, other Asian countries.
They'll buy Canada.
I mean, from what I've heard from Canadians, that's already kind of happening in some of the cities.
Probably Mexico would get pennies on the dollar, nice strategic location, could take over the southern hemisphere if necessary. Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, though, a lot of the stuff that China wants control over for controlling the citizenry and controlling the message, our IP lobby wants control of. So when you say things like the DMCA, the copyright lobby would love nothing more than to be able to just shut off arbitrary websites from their giant control center. I mean, they almost have that ability now with Google searches, and because we're so reliant on just a handful of services, and they definitely got the copyright lobby definitely has their claws in all of those online services. This is just taking it like one step down in the network stack.
That's a terrifying possibility because the copyright people in China are bitter enemies. But could they set aside their differences and respect copyright in return for control of the internet?
I think they would. They would take that trade.
That's a great... So someday somebody's going to be writing a book about the great social experiment where it's like, oh, and then the copyright lobby got together with the communists and...
Time to build that bunker.
Speaking of things getting together to make things happen, I don't know. The FCC has widened the Wi-Fi airwaves access in a win for Facebook and Google. So the FCC is opening up the 6 gigahertz spectrum for use by Wi-Fi devices. The idea here is to increase density, which will allow more devices and better public access and better coverage in other places. So Google and Facebook could offer services in like subway tunnels and crap like that.
The only cost here is pipeline explosions. So everybody wins.
Yeah, it's probably fine. Oh no, this is my last free article from Bloomberg. France says that Apple's Bluetooth policy is blocking the virus tracker. I was chuckling the whole time I was reading this article because it's like, wait a minute, with the GDPR and the EU rules, don't you normally want this level? It's like, oh, the privacy protection in Apple devices won't let us do a, you know, contact tracker. Uh-huh.
See, I think what happened here, as always happens when you let the government do something, is they built it and didn't consider this while they were testing their, you know, private devices. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, this doesn't work. It's Apple's fault.
We've already spent millions of dollars on research and development. Let's just change their side and not ours.
Turns out there's a lot of stuff built into Apple to change, like, your Bluetooth MAC address. And also, applications are not permitted to run in the background continuously. Although Apple and Google announced they're going to do the same thing, they're just doing it together. Seems like the government could just say, hey, give us access to what you're doing, and this becomes a non-issue.
Oh, no, the difference there is the Apple and Google one don't report those Bluetooth logs back. So you can record Bluetooth logs, but you can't phone home when the device is inactive.
Nice. That seems like that's entirely consistent with European law.
Yeah, and they don't need that, because the way Apple and Google designed it, you know, it's like, hey, we'll just tell you if anything happens. But that's not what they want. They want the tracking portion of it.
Motives. So many dark motives. Speaking of dark motives, Reuters. Facebook agreed to censor posts after Vietnam slowed traffic. So this is sort of an interesting one. Vietnam requested Facebook take some posts down that it didn't agree with politically, and Facebook declined, and then Vietnam slowed network access to Facebook IP addresses, and then Facebook complied.
That's an interesting way to combat them. I mean, I kind of respect it, because, like, they don't complain, they don't make noise, they don't threaten. It's just like, yeah, turn them off. We control the ISPs, just shut them down.
You know what would make this a lot easier? It's that new Chinese new IP control protocol thing they mentioned. It'd be way easier.
Yeah, and they could do it everywhere, not just in these countries with top-down control.
You know, I was wondering why Vietnam's numbers were so good for infections. And now I'm like, if they have this kind of control over their people, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. They stopped. Somebody, like, China only had 4,600 deaths. Like, it's just stopped. Like, the number just stopped. So a lot of people are like,
yeah, I don't know if I believe China's numbers. I'm not entirely sure if I believe anyone's numbers at this point.
Can't I don't have anything. A segue. Huh?
I can't believe anything about it.
No.
Don't
believe us, chat.
The segue into the next story is not existing. I have no segue. Other than, this happened in France. Last week it was France, this week it's Australia. Australia is going to force technology giants like Facebook and Google to pay for news content. So if you have a service like Google News that displays aggregate headlines, that's something you have to pay for now. I was thinking about, like, our stuff. It's like, does this mean eventually someday, because we're reporting on news stories and we link to them, is like, would that be included in this, kind of, the way that it's written?
But so one thing about that makes me wonder is, with the paywall situation, and I didn't bother at all this week, but sometimes I'll try to find a paywall alternative. And the way that, for example, Financial Times or Business Insider gets around the whole, like, you know, this is Wall Street Journal story, is they report on Wall Street Journal reporting. And that is okay, because that's news. They're reporting on an event because Wall Street Journal is newsworthy. So do they have to pay eventually? Isn't that the same thing?
One would think. Is it because one is done by a human and the other one is done algorithmically?
Yeah. Plus, this article makes it seem like all of Facebook and Google's money come from news articles. But I don't think that's a huge part of their business.
Yeah. It's definitely not. It's all the data mining and ads. So many ads.
Although in France, Google was cool with it, so I guess they consider they can still make money.
Do you think eventually they'll just stop doing the program entirely, though, if every country starts demanding payment for it?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, or, you know, do your own, like, at what point does it become more economical for Google to become the news source?
Just pay YouTube. It's like, we're going to pay, instead of content creators, we have news creators. And you have independent journalists out there doing, like, YouTube type stuff, and then that's how they get paid.
That's kind of what BuzzFeed did, because BuzzFeed used to just be, like, you know, a meme site, you know, where people just make jokes about, you know, current events, but now they have BuzzFeed News, where it's, like, actual reporting.
Or, you know, like, just hire all the, like, do the freelance model, because that's what most journalists do anyway. And Google's like, yeah, I'll give you a dollar more. And we'll create an API to set all that up so we can figure out what we need to pay you to steal these news stories.
I mean, originate these news stories.
It is kind of weird to think that, like, I mean, I guess it kind of happens anyway if you're just Googling stories, but, like, it's kind of weird to think that all of your news would come from one source. But maybe
there's
that's
a lot of Bloomberg this
toward.
Week. I noticed a lot of Bloomberg this week. And that's not, I'm not like cruising Bloomberg. It's just the sites that I'm getting things from, everybody uses Bloomberg, which is annoying because it's paywall.
It might be because Bloomberg is the only people that haven't shut down, or they were better equipped to deal with the shutdown. I don't know. Well, we got one more story from Ars Technica. That's ICANN has delayed the .org sale again after a scathing letter from the California Attorney General. The controversial deal would saddle the .org registry with $300 million in debt. Yeah, that seems a little insane. It seems like they're being Toys R Us or Sears. What are they going to do? Fail? Nah, somebody else will work that out. It's a game of monetary hot potato.
But here's the thing. They're a nonprofit. I don't understand why this needs to happen at all. This makes no sense.
It makes sense because they're creating $300 million out of thin air.
Yeah, but who's going to get it? It's a nonprofit.
The $300 million is probably going to go to private investors or consulting fees.
This is ridiculous. And, you know, I'm all for the private sector, but this is manipulating something that the private sector didn't create. Can you guys hear this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your cats? No. Pick one of them. Yeah, show them.
Level
yeah,
one cat break.
One second.
Rudog was on the news the other week, so now the cats get to be on. This is very exciting. Zuriel's going to be pumped. Oh, look how big he is. What a good kitty cat. Look, he's just chilling. He's like a baby. Look at him. He's just like, all right.
This is the well-behaved one, right?
He can't hear us. He's got his headphones off.
All right.
Nope. I was going to pet him. He knows he's not allowed on the table.
He's confused.
It's like, why did you put me here?
Which one was that?
That's Toast.
Oh, okay. I love that he just picked up like a baby and he just was like, okay.
Yeah, he's fine with it. Krypton, not so much. He'll let me hold him for a little while. Maybe we'll try him in the next episode.
You know, if I was ordering the stories, our next story would have been great right after the Israel story. Because the Israel story, it's like, we're looking at the contact tracing app, and it's like, no, this is too invasive of individuals' privacy. And the perfect segue would have been, well, here in America, we respect people's privacy, and we wouldn't let it get that far before we ever do anything. Oh, wait. Trump admin gives coronavirus tracking contract to Peter Thiel's Palantir, which is not ironically named.
We don't know who else may be watching.
That guy has been a big Trump supporter, so I'm sure that Trump is probably just blind to the dangers of what he's doing, rather than he doesn't care. I'm sure it's ignorance and not malice here, but that's also a problem, because he should be aware of these kinds of things. And he has to know that, oh my God, these cats.
See, we can't hear them.
Yeah, it's literally, well, we could earlier, but now it seems quieter.
Oh yeah, they're eating. They love to eat plastic for whatever reason. They're eating the water bag for the water bottles.
We can't hear it.
Now it's okay. Quiet. I guess they were going at it. I don't know.
It is close.
But Palantir, yeah, like they're just hoovering up all of this data, and the crazy thing is, this data doesn't go away after the pandemic ends.
Yeah, it's a business story, so I won't spoil it. But the question of what happens to the data has been raised in some cases. But you know, even if Amazon or Facebook or Palantir were to promise it, they're not going to do it. How many times in the past have they promised that it would go away and it never does?
I think that there's been at least three or four times in the history of the Level 1 News where they had a story and it was like, no, we're going to destroy the data. And then in that in that episode, we said, no, it's going to show up on Amazon S3 in 6 months. And then sure enough, 6 months later, it's like, oh, guess who had a leaky bucket?
And can you imagine how valuable it would be just for marketing data? If someone had the virus, how much more likely are they to be terrified of anything medical related? You'd be able to sell them so much stuff.
What's what was the thing that when this first started, I looked up some nurse on the internet was saying like, oh, you need to get, it's an oximeter, and you couldn't find any on Amazon. So I'm sure it'll be like that, you know, oh, you should buy this particular thermometer, and then no one can buy it.
Makes sense.
Other
things that make sense, we talked, and this is in the South Morning China Post, which is amazing. The headline is, China orders TikTok owners ByteDance to remove work from home app. So the people that make TikTok made basically a clone of Slack that had some more functionality than what Slack has. But one of the things that that software did was it could fetch the headlines from like Twitter and CNN and, you know, Western media news sites, and then bring it in and display it in your chat channel. The problem is that people were talking about headlines from other countries, and that's not allowed in China.
There has to be that one developer who was like, yeah, this is going to be an amazing feature. I'm going to add this. And they're going to know who that was because of version control. And he's going to go away.
That feature, the whole application had to go away, not just that feature, while it's investigated by the state.
And yeah, I'm sure they'll bring it back, though, and it'll be heavily, you know, truncated.
They're going to bring back the guy, too, right? Like the developer? He'll definitely
come. Maybe not so much.
Maybe after the re-education camp.
He's going to go to one of those work camps for sure.
And then he'll be back and be like, no, no, I was well treated. They just had some questions. Twitch. Well, we talked about Zoom for what seems like 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Because that's how we're using Discord for this. So that's a lot of fun. But, you know, Facebook wants in on the action, as they always do, a little late to the party. But they're taking on Zoom with Messenger Rooms, group videos. No longer require a Facebook account. Yeah, you might be wondering, it's like, wait, didn't Facebook already have this feature? They literally had portals. We talked about how Facebook made a bunch of portals, the little video conferencing thing that was like your grandma could use, like they just touch a picture of you and then immediately they're calling you 85 times a day. And they sold out of those when this whole thing first started. Well, the problem is, nobody wants to log into Facebook. Nobody wants to have a Facebook account. Nobody wants Mark Zuckerberg looking over your shoulder, breathing heavily.
He doesn't breathe.
He's got that raspy rattle, like the mechanical rattle. It's a little unsettling.
It's just, you know, it's something to simulate breathing because he doesn't need to.
And so Facebook has this new thing, Messenger Rooms, which you just need a link for. You don't have to log in. There's no BS. It's a little like Zoom in that regard because it turns out people don't want to fool with that BS. And that's why those things were really popular. Microsoft, are you paying attention? You should be paying attention.
If this makes Facebook... If one positive thing comes out of the virus, it would be if Facebook turned off that stupid nag about logging in to making me... Because sometimes some businesses only use Facebook, which I hate. Mm-hmm. And normally I'll ignore you if you do that because I think it's so unprofessional. It's like the most pathetic thing in the world. But sometimes you don't have a choice. And that nag screen is among the worst in the universe.
There's another thing that's another story later in the thing about you can't access some content again, now.
I hope that just kills small businesses who try to do that because it's ridiculous.
I think it's probably also true that Facebook knows who you are and it's completely placebo. It's like, you know, it's like, I already know who you are. I just want you to say who you are. And it's like, oh, that's kind of dark and scary because, like, why are you making me log in? You already know who I am.
How do you make the pop-up sound less scary, though? Yeah, you just put like a happy little person next to it. It's like, hey, we just want to make sure.
Speaking of stuff that Facebook's been up to, they've accused the NSO group of using U.S. servers for spying. This is in a court filing this week. The NSO group is the one that had the zero-day WhatsApp hack that may have been used on Jeff Bezos. We don't know. That's a different story. And I might be confusing my details there, but there's apparently some kind of a hack or a backdoor or something in WhatsApp. Facebook claims no knowledge, but they're trying to figure it out. NSO group's involved. They're an intelligence service, basically. And there's a lot to unpack here, but in the court filing, they also had a list of IP addresses that the NSO group uses. So if you have logs of all of the IP addresses that have tried to do bad stuff to your computers, you should go check those IP addresses against your logs.
I think the most interesting thing about this story was the NSO group's defense isn't that, no, we don't hack people. It's that we only sell the software to hack people. They in turn hack people, and we don't help them do that. But it seems like under investigation, they totally do help people do that. So it's like almost you get a guy to come to your business and help you hack your nation state targets from NSO. And that's what they're trying to prove.
Yeah, it seems like that's, it seems like it's like you've got a tech support ticket. It's like, I'm just helping you use the software. Now tell me what it is you want to do. It's like, okay, you press enter. I've typed the command for you, but you press enter.
Yeah, so not surprising.
Now, we talk about disinformation on Facebook a lot and how people like YouTube and Facebook and, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, we've heard, step up and say, you know, we're going to combat disinformation on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. We can't have that. There's a new crackdown on YouTube, which means that we can't mention the thing or we've had difficulty mentioning the thing. So I found this article kind of interesting for a variety of reasons. Facebook has formally gotten rid of pseudoscience ad targeting category. So if you're an advertiser on Facebook and you wanted to talk, you wanted to target somebody that was interested in pseudoscience, you totally could.
I imagine that probably works well for things like essential oils or alternative medicine, like
or the Tide Pod Challenge.
You think they saw a huge uptick in Lysol buying ads?
Yes, they absolutely did. The data on that is already out. It's like, I think Ricky Gervais, I think Ricky Gervais in like 2016 tweeted that, like, on bleach bottles it says do not drink, which makes me realize that we can actually have, you know, the presidency that we have.
Well, I mean, coffee says contents are hot. You know, everything has to have the most basic instructions. The other one they got rid of here was conspiracy theories, which is interesting. I wonder, do you think the pseudoscience crowd were big buyers? Did they convert a lot of sales?
I think for the right product, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
If you have that as categories and you're like, you can buy the JFK UFO files right here and I can just target that group, my click-through rate is going to be through the roof.
I'm thinking just someone, you know, I have this herbal supplement that, you know, boosts your immune system and, you know, prevents viruses from taking hold in your lungs. And that's all you have to do, and you promote it to the right buyer. You know, they might see that and be like, oh, okay.
I mean, you know, if I saw a Facebook ad that was like, what made Reagan change his mind after he became president about releasing the UFO files? Click here. I'd be like, I'm not even, like, I mean, that's probably junk, but I'm not even mad. That's actually impressive how specifically targeted that is.
I think they'll find a new way to, like, name them something else that sounds like something else, but really it's still that same group.
Yeah, probably we'll report back in about 3 months. It's like, oh, this is the group that's called. Although there's also Oprah. Like, you know, Oprah has promoted, like, Dr. Phil and, remember, Jenny McCarthy?
Dr. Oz.
You know, and that's also kind of pseudoscience, pretty much pseudoscience. So,
yeah,
you know,
but it's
Oprah,
socially acceptable.
Does that mean they're going to... How does Goop classify itself?
Oh, yeah, that's not even pseudoscience. That's just not even... There's no science there at all. It's just pseudo.
Did you know they released a Netflix documentary about all of the things they do at Goop?
Was it by them or by someone critical of them?
It was produced with Goop, with Netflix. So, like, I just watched a few clips of it on YouTube and it was insufferable. They're like, we just want to, like, explore alternatives and, like, what we're doing isn't harmful. And it was like, but it could be, though, if the wrong person buys into this and then tries to treat themselves with your stuff.
Well, that's what happened to, what's his name? Apple guy.
Steve Jobs. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Steve Jobs would probably be alive if he had a little bit more forceful doctor that was like, Steve, stop being a moron. Let's get your liver fixed.
I don't know enough about that story. Whatever was wrong with him, like, it was fairly treatable if you caught it early?
Yes. And they did catch it early. He just didn't go with the recommended treatment.
so treatable that someone convinced him that, you know, you don't need to do this harmful radiation and chemotherapy. You just need to, you know, eat raw and do all these hippie things.
Whoops.
Why not do both if you're really concerned about it? But whatever.
Do you know who I am?
Speaking of eating raw, Facebook invests $5.7 billion in India's Reliance Jio platforms. So,
it's a good segue. It's just smooth. Like, I didn't even notice.
It is amazing that all these Western companies just, you know, fighting for India. Do we see in our lifetimes the pivot for the interest of all these huge multinational corporations from like USA number one to India number one?
I think that a lot of these companies think that it's going to be like America, you know, in the early 80s through the 90s. Like, there we, like,
or post war.
Yeah, or post war. It's like there was just such an incredible explosion. The level of technology and the education level, the average education level went way, way up. That produced a whole new, you know, consumer base. And it's like, look at the 1980s toys. Like, the toys that were there in the 1980s, people were buying that like crazy. So if Facebook is a part of everyday life in a good way in India, that's going to be cemented for 50 years.
It's going to suck for us.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
We're going to miss our multinationals when they're gone.
Maybe
we can all become like rural, you know, farmers and stuff like a lot of India society is. Maybe we can get more basic and be happy like that.
Well, I don't see that happening. Not unless there's a massive population die-off.
What could cause that?
Palantir.
MIT Technology Review has a heat map from Facebook. Facebook has released a map of the symptoms. Oh, I said it. No.
It's fine.
Has a map of
us. I don't think we'll be demonetized anymore. We're not supposed to be. That doesn't mean it won't happen.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Symptoms crowdsourced from its users. So this is just if you're using Facebook and you got like take a Facebook survey, just fill it out, and this is the heat map. And you know, I don't think it's really telling us anything we didn't already know.
Well, again, these are the people who take an online survey about their health from Facebook and don't think twice about the privacy implications of that. So is it really a good sample?
No. Because those people are using Facebook in the first place.
Also, and this is something that they brought up in that the tracking story. I don't know if it was this one or that, the Apple Google one, but they don't have a good way of actually determining false positives. So you could just have trolls or hypochondriacs who are going to skew that number incredibly.
What was that? Was that a cat?
The cats are like really having a good time right now.
Oh, they're wrestling.
You know who's not having a good time right now? It's Ripple. Ripple sued YouTube over cryptocurrency scams. I thought this was kind of funny because, I mean, you know, if you use YouTube, you know about cryptocurrency scams. Some YouTubers have had their channels hacked and taken over by cryptocurrency scams. Look.
Aww, they're so cute.
Are claws out or are they just play fighting?
They're a little aggressive sometimes.
Look at those good boys. You know who would love that? Your dog.
But yeah, so it turns out that Ripple has experienced some especially egregious behavior by YouTube, which is apparently somebody managed to get a channel verified that was like their CEO's channel, but it was just scammers. And the scammers were like, hey, send us some Ripple and we'll send you, you know, 10 times as much Ripple back and just crazy stuff like that. Or it was like that we'd send you up to 1 million in Ripple and it was a 5 million Ripple giveaway, and I don't know, it just seems like a mess. And
it all seemed kind of benign to me until I got to that part, like, how did that guy get confirmed?
Yeah.
That seems incredible. But again, it's the scam where I need you to send me money so I can send you more money. And it's just,
yeah.
I don't understand how people fall for that.
Well, let me explain it. It's internet. It's magic internet money. That's how it works.
Huh?
Facebook will ban protests that defy government guidance on distancing. Anti-lockdown protests are taking place across America, which I think is overstated, at least around here. Like, the anti-lockdown protests are like the same five people over and over again.
It really is.
But it gets clicks.
Yeah, it really does.
Which is like extreme compared to the number of people doing it. Also, we cannot, and again, these are, you know, not the kind of people who have a lot of influence, obviously, but our YouTube comments. There are a lot of anti-lockdown comments in our YouTube comments.
I don't understand, like, how did the Venn diagram of people interested in our news programming and those kind of people, like, where does that overlap? But apparently there's a small, if maybe not significant one. It's so weird.
I would prefer to do what we can to keep the elderly people alive, but that's just me.
Yeah, for real.
I like to think that we have a skeptical take on most of the news. But, you know, you have to temper that as well. You can't just go full, like, everything's a lie. You have to try and figure out what's real and what isn't. It does seem like people are dying.
Well, yeah, and like, who does it benefit to have us all locked down and have the economy just, like, this slow down? It doesn't benefit anyone.
Jeff Bezos.
I think, was it Milan? Like, there was a ship in the 1620s that they wanted the goods on the ship, but it came from like Cyprus or somewhere that had a plague, and it was like, no, the ship's fine. We don't need to quarantine them. And it was like, we really should quarantine them. And then in 2 years' time, half the population of Milan had been destroyed. I don't remember if it was Milan. It's probably not the right city. But something like that happened in the 1600s.
And that wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, are we reliving that? It's like, oh, commerce trumps people. You know, I don't know.
I think we're just
going to find out.
We're going to, Palantir is going to save us. We're going to immediately track everybody, and we're going to pre-handle those people, and where handle could be, you know, something nefarious or not. And
we'll get a lasso injection.
We'll be safe. There's some amazing artwork that's coming out for that. There's an amazing one that's, I don't know, it's almost used as a background, but you could see it anyway. So, bad news if you're a Facebook user, still. 267 million Facebook profiles are for sale for about $500, $600 on the dark web. The headline says $600, the article says $500. These are Facebook profiles that include your name, typically include the name, date of birth, phone number, if you've provided it to Facebook, thanks Facebook, and some other information from your Facebook profile. This was they found this and it was taken down, and then it was immediately put back up with 47 million more records.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is still available on the dark web. This is bad news.
Who puts their phone number on Facebook is the real question.
Don't they require it now?
They used to require it for SMS messaging. Like, if you wanted to get messages in real time, you had to provide your phone number.
Facebook's always desperate for my information.
Yeah.
They're always begging, like, hey, can you put your phone number in? Why don't you tell us where you work? And I'm like, no.
They got to figure out if you're into pseudoscience.
It's £500 or $600. Okay, that makes it more consistent. I don't think the pound sign was rendering on my phone for some reason.
Yeah, Facebook users. Who can have any sympathy for them?
Speaking of Facebook indirectly, let's talk about Instagram. Instagram no longer allows people without an account to view photos and videos on computers. As somebody who's been looking to try to find references for things, random things that I found in my house that are older and random things that I found in the building, there's always pictures on Instagram. And it is always impossible to load those pictures on Instagram because of this kind of BS.
It was annoying before because you had to do like the pop-up and it would eventually like pull up the login after you scrolled for a while, but now it's instant. Like you have to be logged in.
What do you think the conversion rate is to get accounts from this?
For me, it's only making me just want to completely exclude Instagram from my life at the router. Like,
well, that's what Pinterest. So like Pinterest does the same bullshit. And now whenever I do like a Google image search, I always put like minus Pinterest because I don't want their results. And Instagram's going to do the same thing.
How does this affect embeds? Because you could do embeds on websites.
I think that still works. I think, too, you can look at someone's profile, and then if you click on the image, if you open the image in a new tab, it will work.
So couldn't you just pop the embed URL into whatever you're trying to look at and it would render?
That, and also if you just use your browser's developer tools to switch to mobile view, it'll work a little bit better than it does on desktop.
But don't do that. Just don't go to Instagram, please.
Yeah. Instagram could just... I feel bad for people that have uploaded pictures to Pinterest and Instagram because the value of that platform is all in the data that users have uploaded. It would be very trivial to build that kind of a platform, although the hosting costs might be kind of high. But
really high.
In terms of like building a community platform where users can share information and connect with one another without being under the lens of like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, I think there's room for that. Maybe there's something other than Instagram. It's just that so many people are, it just seems like such a waste. Because all the content is locked up.
There was a guy last week who, the photographer, and once he put his stuff on Instagram, it's not his anymore. Yeah. So
that's a lot of artists use Instagram, and I've considered getting an account before, but it's like, I just don't trust them. And I'm glad I didn't do it now.
You should only put that on level1text.com.
Yeah.
We have the technology. All right. That's the end of this episode. What do we got for tomorrow?
You would know that, not us.
Yeah, we don't have the one tabs. I don't know. We have the stories, but not the one tab.
Well, business. Probably.
Oh, it should be all business.
Yeah, it's probably all business because there's like 20 business stories. So a lot of business happening, as usual. All right. We'll see you
tomorrow. Or not as usual. Bye.